We're ready now for argument in the case of Hayden against the Greenberg Community School District. Mr. Frazier.
May it please the court. My name is Ron Frazier, and I'm here on behalf of A.H. and Patrick and Melissa Hayden. The first issue that I will be addressing is whether the district court erred in finding that the fundamental right to wear one's hair any length does not apply to a public school student who wishes to play interscholastic sports. And the answer to that is yes. Now, the reason this is a fundamental right is because this court said it is a fundamental right, and it said that it's a fundamental right for the last 40 years.
In what situation, though? Isn't that when you're talking about a dismissal, when school is mandatory?
Well, the seminal case, to answer your question, is yes. Absolutely, you're right. And the seminal case on this issue is Breen versus Kale. And in Breen, the court described that fundamental right, or made it a fundamental right, talked about it being a fundamental right because of the intimately personal nature of personal hair grooming. And this record supports that. Age testified he did not want to cut his hair because it would make him feel like he was being changed to someone that he was not. A.H. testified, they are making me like try to be someone who they think is what I should be. And this all goes to the student's identity. I mean, he's growing, and why this is so important, this identity, this we're also talking about the parents' fundamental liberty right to be able to raise their child as they choose. And so they have the school and the parents, or the basketball coach in this case, and the parents have to coexist. And we've talked about, or the cases have talked about the fact.
Is hair length a fundamental right under the approach the Supreme Court articulated in Washington against Glucksberg?
I'm not familiar with that case, Your Honor.
That's the controlling standard. And the Supreme Court said in Glucksberg that only the most important things in life, such as life itself or a decision about what kind of family to have, are fundamental, and that other things are not fundamental. Now, the Supreme Court's decision is in 1997. All of the post-Glucksberg decisions are consistent with that approach. And it is awfully hard to see how pre-1997 cases declaring things like hairstyle to be fundamental could be reconciled with the Supreme Court's current approach. Our job is to carry out the decisions of our superiors, not to behave as if the 70s were still here.
Your Honor, what I don't understand then is why, if that is the controlling precedent on this issue, it wasn't mentioned in the case of Kelly versus Johnson.
Kelly against Johnson was decided in 1976, and Washington against Glucksberg was decided in 1997. Not even the justices can travel backward in time.
Your Honor, what I would say is important that regardless of whether it's a fundamental right or whether it's an arbitrary deprivation, that's what we have in this case. And the reason that it's an arbitrary deprivation.
The Supreme Court said that it doesn't matter. Something is not fundamental, doesn't matter whether it's arbitrary. The world of substantive due process is limited to fundamental rights. And if under Washington against Glucksberg, hair length is not fundamental, that's the end of a substantive due process theory. That's the core holding of Glucksberg.
Your Honor, what I would argue is that under equal protection, the equal protection rights are violated here. And this court's decision in the case of Cruz versus Clonks, this court found that an equal protection violation took place on a haircut policy. In that case, there were girls and boys that both were in science classes and performed in PE classes. And the policy applied only to the boys. And what the court found in that case was that the girls engaged in substantially the same activities as the boys when they were in biology and PE. They therefore found that there was an equal protection violation. Likewise, here in this case, the girls engage in the substantially the same activities when they play basketball, as do the boys. But that only the boys have to have their hair cut.
Now, in that case, it was the coach's discretion, wasn't it? You didn't like it, I know. But
in our case?
Yeah, your case, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. And I think that it's very important to note that when the coach testified about this, that his substantial government interest for saying that he wanted to do this is so that they could have team uniformity. And when he was asked about that on cross-examination, we asked him a question, well, if the boys all had long hair, then wouldn't they be uniform? And he said, yes, but that's not what I want portrayed. What he's all talking about is that he wants his boys to have a clean-cut image. And the image is not a substantial government interest because he's the decider of the image, and that becomes a problem.
Well, you're comparing it to the girls. I mean, I'm old, but I have a 15-year-old who plays basketball. He likes short hair. My daughter's played basketball. And I don't think I'd want somebody coming up and saying, got to cut their hair. So I understand the parents' position very well.
Well, and
but
I think
isn't
if we.
What we're dealing with here. We're dealing with whether it's a fundamental right. And that's a big difference than one coach who says there's no I in team. You know, that old cliche.
But if we take it away, but if we put it in equal protection language, if we look at the Equal Protection Clause, then it's something totally different than if we're looking at it as if it's a fundamental right. And under equal protection, if it's arbitrary, then it must be found unconstitutional. And it would seem to me if we look at this in a different context, if we talk about whether, if it was the opposite, if girls had to wear their hair past their shoulders, and the women's coach wanted them to do that, I don't think we would even be having an argument today about whether or not this is a violation of the Equal Protection Clause, because it clearly is, because it goes to gender. It goes to femininity. It goes to all those things that the Constitution protects. And it also is a violation, I would say, of Title IX, clearly because the boys are being treated differently than the girls. I'm into my rebuttal time. Thank you.
Certainly, Mr. Frazier. Mr. Wheeler.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court. My name is Tom Wheeler, and I represent the Greensburg Community Schools and the other defendants in this case. As I understood the colloquy between plaintiff's counsel and the court, there was essentially a concession that they're not asserting a compelling interest at this point in time and turn directly to the equal protection argument. I'd be happy to address the compelling interest of the fundamental right argument, the substantive due process, personal liberty, if the court would care for me to address it, or I could move straight into the equal protection argument.
Why don't you talk about equal protection?
Yeah.
Here's the problem. It's really perfectly straightforward. If this plaintiff were a girl, he'd be playing basketball now. So his sex has been held against him. Is it necessary to say anything more than that?
Well, yes, Your Honor, because in equal protection, number one, there needs to be a showing of intentional discrimination, and then number two, we address the arbitrariness of the.
Distinction has been drawn.
What could be more arbitrary? I mean, why does it? You know, for purposes of the gender discrimination claims, why wouldn't the relevant comparison here be between the boys and girls basketball teams? And why would it matter that other boys' teams aren't subject to the rule?
Because the issue is whether the rule, whether a new, this is a neutral rule imposed by the coach on the members of his team. It happens to be that the members of his team are boys.
Yes, but the school district authorizes this rule.
And the school district authorizes a dress code across.
Suppose a professor at a public university who taught a popular class said, I'm only going to teach boys. I'm not going to teach girls. No girls can enroll in my class. You think you'd have a sex discrimination problem there?
Absolutely.
Of course you would. Well, we got the same kind of problem here.
The distinction, though, is that the professor has said, I am doing it on the basis of gender. Boys may enroll in my class, girls may not. This is a neutral policy that employs applies to the members of the basketball team, in this case the boys' basketball team.
No, the basketball team has only boys on it. There's a boys' team and a girls' team.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Right? It would be a neutral policy if there were a grooming rule for both the men and the women. But I take it on this record that that's not true. Only the men are subject to a grooming rule.
That's correct. This particular grooming policy.
There we are. We have a school district maintains separate teams for boys and girls. The boys are subject to a grooming rule. The girls aren't. If that's not sex discrimination, I don't know what is.
Your Honor, with respect to the equal protection analysis, there can be variations between the boys and girls team. Let's assume that the boys coach decides that he wants to punish his team for some infraction by telling those students that they will run. You will run sprints at the end of practice, or you will run stairs. The girls team coach chooses a different approach to disciplining the team.
Yes.
Under that analogy, that would be sex discrimination.
There's a very long history of cases dealing with what happens if there are grooming rules for each team, and they're different, right? One of them says you have to wear the following kind of makeup, and the other doesn't. We have those kinds of problems under Title VII as well.
Right.
But that's not what this school district has done. This school district has a grooming rule for the boys' team and no grooming rule for the girls' team. And one is inclined to say QED.
I understand that, Your Honor, but with respect to that, under that same analysis, anytime there's a disparity or a difference between those two teams, that analysis would say there is an equal protection violation, and we'd be standing right back here in court every time there's a difference between a boys' team and a girls' team in the manner in which the coach approaches the team.
I think you're missing the point, right? If each team has a policy about here's how we practice or here's how we have discipline, there's a discipline rule on each side, and we could ask whether they were different in some, whether they were materially different. That's not what's going on here. There's a grooming rule on one side and no grooming rule on the other. That's your problem.
Your Honor, there is an overall school. There's a high school grooming policy that applies to all sports and all students.
Yes,
the individual coaches then have the authority.
It's apparently agreed that the plaintiff satisfies the high school's grooming policy.
That's correct, because they give the
doesn't satisfy the policy for playing men's basketball.
Absolutely, Your Honor. But what they've done is they've given the discretion of the individual coaches to make
determinations. Well, then you're just back to my example where discretion is given to individual teachers and one of them decides there won't be any girls.
Well, and I realize this is a class of one case. I'll refer to the Del Marcel case.
Not a class of one.
No, I understand. But the Del Marcel case that I was going to refer to does make a reference to that. And it says there is no single way to accomplish that task. But it talks about a plaintiff, in order to show this rational relationship under equal protection, a plaintiff must do more than show that state actors who have legitimately been delegated discretion to act simply exercise that discretion. It is entirely rational, in other words, to permit state actors to make individualized decisions when the very nature of their job is to take a wide variety of considerations into account. Now, I understand the Del Marcel case involved decisions about how they would deal with individuals, in this case, the people that were being chased by the gang activity. But the same analysis, I think, applies in this particular case, which is to say, individual coaches are authorized to make the discretion to make certain differences, to recognize certain differences between the manner in which they coach their teams. For example, the boys, would we have a constitutional claim because the boys' football team is allowed to wear long hair and the boys' basketball team is not? Okay?
I don't understand the significance of that. The district court said that other boys' teams did not have grooming policies. But an equal protection claim is an indication, is an attempt to vindicate personal rights, not group rights. Right? If you've got a school that doesn't admit blacks, you can't say some other school in the same school district does admit blacks. That's the holding of Sweat against Painter. It's very old. It's very fundamental. So the fact that some men's teams don't have grooming policies is completely irrelevant. Unless we're going to say that the Supreme Court got it wrong in Sweat and that the last 70 years of equal protection law all have to be junked.
I think with respect to that, I think the focus is on the individual decision by the coach in that particular policy. The school has a grooming policy and each of the programs has a grooming policy. The difference is that the football
you're
team...
You're back where you were, but... Texas college system said, well, it's true we don't have a law school that admits blacks, but we've got colleges and universities that admit blacks. We'll even pay for blacks to go someplace else. The Supreme Court said equal protection is individual rights. You can't say go play some other sport or go to some other school or there are some schools where blacks aren't discriminated against. And it's just the same with sex. Right? This is really fundamental stuff.
No, I understand what the court is saying, and what I'm saying, again, the policy is neutral. The fact that you have a neutral policy that simply applies to the boys' basketball team doesn't violate equal protection.
Is there a policy, is there a grooming policy for the girls' basketball team, or do you know?
There is a grooming policy. It's not in the grooming policy is not in the record, Your Honor.
Okay.
Well, why in the world not?
That would help, simply because it's obvious. There are grooming policies. The girls have to wear their hair in a certain way so it's not inhibited, it's not dangerous. But girls, a lot of them, have long hair. Sometimes they have to tie it at least in a ponytail. The runners got to be in a ponytail, I guess. You know? But that's that is a decision that coaches make. Obviously, in your client's case, he's obviously a good basketball player, or they wouldn't, you know, other teams play him, and he wouldn't made the team. So those are all important issues. This is a kind of a silly one, I look at it, but that isn't how I'm supposed to look at it. But even if equal protection, I think that you can't have the same grooming policy for boys and girls, but there can be a policy, at least the way I see it.
Right. So if I understand the question the court is asking, if there's a different grooming policy for girls and boys, is that not an equal protection violation?
Well,
there is a huge jurisprudence on that. I'm just floored. This case is briefed on the assumption that there's no grooming policy for the girls' team. And now you say there is, but that it's not in the record. I think we have to proceed on the assumption that there isn't. But there's a huge jurisprudence, both in equal protection and Title VII law, about equivalence of grooming policies that are technically different, but perhaps equally onerous for both sexes. And now you tell me that there is one. I'm floored. How can this case reach the Court of Appeals without the grooming policy for the girls' team being in the record?
Your Honor, it's not in the record. The parties did joint stipulations, and that was not included. Your Honor, I see that my time is almost up. With respect to this, from the school's standpoint, the school believes the district court, using the joint stipulation of facts agreed to between the parties, that the court got it correct. With respect to that, there was no showing of intentional discrimination in this particular case. It was a neutral policy. I see that my time is up. We would ask that the court affirm the district court's judgment.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Anything further, Mr. Frazier?
Just very briefly, Your Honor.
Mr. Frazier, as you come up, would you just be kind enough to tell me if A.H. is in his junior or senior year?
He's a junior right now.
He's a junior.
Your Honor, I think the court understands this very well, and I'll just leave you with this last thought, and it comes from this court's case in Bowen versus City of East Chicago. It is now well settled that to survive constitutional scrutiny, gender-based discrimination must be substantially related to an important government objective. When the coach said, I am about having a clean-cut image for my boys. I don't want boys running around with ponytails.
Do you agree that there is a grooming policy for the girls' team?
I've never seen it.
Okay.
So I don't agree. And I'm aware of no girls that have been punished to the same extent as my client, A.H., in being kicked off the team.
Well, that's
part of the record.
The coach obviously says if they can play basketball, implicitly at least, I don't care how they wear their hair, which is, in your school, that school, is for whatever the reason, it's the coach's choice. This guy happens to say he wants short hair, whether it's a good idea or not. That's the difference between girls and boys is obvious. You don't have the same grooming policy. If they had one, said you got to wear your hair in ponytails or you got to wear a hairnet or something, then maybe there'd be some complaints from those parents. We don't have that. We don't know what the policy is, and as Judge Eastwood points out, that would be an interesting comparison. Mm-hmm.
But lastly, and I'm almost out of time, I think this is also a disparate treatment claim, just like this court found in the Parker versus Franklin case, because you have boys being kicked off the team for violating a grooming policy, whereas there's no evidence of that ever happening with women. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. The case is taken under advisement.